You say you searching for happiness, well, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go.
The show,
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 this the way to go.
The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go.
The primary person in our text is Jesus. And of course, we know that in scriptures, names are important. Jesus' name means salvation. Savior or salvation. Now, when it comes to the salvation of man, man's salvation is limited. Always remember, man can do some things for us, but man's power is limited. We need to be mindful that when it comes to our God, whose name is Jesus, that the salvation of God is not like man. For God's salvation is threefold: deliverance, protection, and prosperity. When the Lord grants us salvation as young people and adults, he's saying, look, I have the power to deliver you. I have the power to bring you and your family out of whatever it is that you are dealing with. And he delivers us when we call on him, when we just acknowledge him, because the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered or saved. And it does not matter if you are a teenager. It does not matter if you come out of a single parent home, if you come out of a nursing home, or if you come out of an adopted home. If you call on the name of the Lord, he will deliver. He delivers from sin. How many of the Lord has delivered from sin and trespasses? You're not the person that you used to be. You ought to stick that hand up. You can actually say, the Lord has delivered me. Now, I'm going to put on the table, I'm not perfect, and there's some areas I still need to be delivered in, but I know when I die, I'm not going to hell. Oh, no, the Lord has delivered me. Am I talking about you this morning? Secondly, again, it has to do with his protection. The Lord will take care and protect his people. It does not matter if we are in what the world calls a pandemic or not. The Lord will protect his people. Back in the Old Testament, there were plagues that hit the planet. And the Lord told the people of God, look, you just make sure you put the blood of a lamb over your doorpost. And when the death angel or plague comes to your house, you will be divinely protected. And because our God does not change, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. All we need to do is make sure that we are living up under the blood of Jesus. The Lord will protect us, as the old folks say, from seen and unseen danger. How many know I'm right about it? But then his salvation has to do with prosperity. God will bless you. And see, the Bible teaches that the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow. Even Jesus said himself, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God will prosper us, not just in our spirit life. He will prosper us in every aspect of our life. He'll make sure that we are not only on our way to heaven, but we're having heaven here on earth. He'll make sure that we have Zoe type of life, the God kind of life, while we're right here on earth in middle school, high school, or beyond. He came that we might have life and have it more. Help me. Abundantly. He wants us to be the head and not the tail. Live above only and never beneath. Be a lender and not the borrower. Blessed going in and blessed coming and coming out. You think the Lord only wants us to just sit back and look at sinners and joy and life? Oh, no. The Lord wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. He even told his disciples, it's my good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I want you to have righteousness. I want you to have peace. I want you to prosper while you're here on earth. The Lord wants to bless us. Am I right about it? And he ain't got to wait till you in your 20s or 30s to do it. Now, he'll do it in your 20s or 30s, but if you get a hold of the Lord, and his word abides in you. The Bible says we can ask whatever we desire, and he'll turn right around and give it to us. He'll do it for a teenager. He'll do it for a preschooler. Jesus was 12 years old, and the Lord was blessing him. The Hebrew boys were in their teens, and the Lord was prospering them. Joseph was in his 30s, and the Lord was prospering him. I'm getting excited. Are y'all getting the word? God will bless his folk. Am I right about it? All right. So salvation, when it comes from the Lord, is threefold. It has to do with help me, his deliverance, come on, his protection, and his prosperity. And what does Jesus' name mean? Salvation. Salvation. Now, when we continue in Matthew 4 in our text, in verse number 18, Jesus was walking by the sea. And he saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew. He saw them, okay? Now, contextually, the verse tells just a little bit about these two brothers that I believe is very important before I deal with the meat of the text. It's very important when it comes, especially to young men and young women. It don't matter if you're in high school, college, or beyond. These are some very important traits when you consider what the text talks about Simon and Andrew. And so let me deal with them before I deal with my primary text in verse 19. Y'all still with me? Simon and Andrew had two significant traits that we need to make sure we have in the church and outside of the church. The first trait that we see in verse 18 is that Simon and Andrew were unified. They were working together. Simon and Andrew, these two brothers, was working together. They were on the same page. And see, as brothers and sisters in Christ, it's important for us likewise to be in agreement. It's important for us to be on the same page, especially about things that are major or concerning the will of God. See, you may not eat chicken, and I may like Popeyes. But we don't need to let that cause us to be divided. But we do need to be in agreement that Jesus will save you and fill you with the Holy Spirit. Even though you don't like Popeyes, and I like Popeyes, we still need to be in agreement as it pertains to the things of God. You may not like football. I may like football. But we don't need to let that split us. We still need to be in agreement when it comes to tithing and offering. Yeah, we're in the same house. We brothers and sisters. We need to be in agreement that we need to bring God his tithe and his and his offering. Bring it into the storehouse. We need to be in agreement. And we have to be to the point to where we learn to work together despite our differences. Because how many know all of us are different? I said all of us are different. You got some that like to talk, and you got some that like to keep quiet. Okay? You got some that they like to dress. And you got some, they don't care, they'll leave the house in pajamas. Okay? That's your thing. That's your mood. That's your vibe. But all I'm saying is when it comes to the things of God, we need to be on the same page. Especially many of you that work in the ministry, we need to be on the same page. Why? Because a house that is divided against itself will not stand. We need to be on the same page. I need everybody on the praise team having the same mindset. Everybody on the instrument having the same mindset. We want God to get the glory. We're not going to try to show out. We're not going to try to impress. We're going to stick to what the vision is for the ministry, and we want God to get the glory. We're going to be on the same page. Then we go into the audio and video room. We want everybody caring about the production. We want the cameraman to care how it looks. We want the audio man to care how it sounds. We want everything clicking right. We want to be on the same page. Why is this so important, Pastor? Y'all turn with me to Psalm. Go to Psalm. Let me show you why this is so important. Psalm 133. I need First Lady on the same page as Pastor. Ministers and leaders on the same page as Pastor. As long as he's following the Lord, we need to be on the same what? Same page. And let me show you why this is so important. Psalm 133:1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. See, if we on the same page as young men and young women, even though we got differences, if we on the same page, God gonna make sure some good and pleasant things take place at the MSW. I said, he gonna make sure some good and some what? Pleasant things happen. He gonna make sure some blessings come our way. Some benefits come our way. And I don't want to hinder you, and I don't want you to hinder me. So we all need to be on the same page. Am I talking right? Yeah, you think about it. If you show up, show me a football team where everybody ain't got the same uniform. Show me some cheerleaders where everybody ain't doing the same cheer. Everybody gonna be on the what? Same page. Well, when it comes to the things of God, we need to be on the same page. And if we are, good and pleasant things are going to happen. See, when God starts loosing corporate blessings and you start seeing God blessing one person, when we on the same page, it just ain't going to be one person. It's going to trickle out and hit everybody. Somebody, we got four or five folk going through in their body, but then somebody get up and testify about how the Lord healed them. Oh, just wait your turn, because he ain't gonna stop with that one person. Because we on the same page, he gonna make sure everybody gets their healing. I get excited when I hear folk testify about what the Lord is doing, because if I just stay in line, stay in my lane, I know I may be next. How many know what I'm talking about? That's why you can't get out of line. You can't get to tripping or acting crazy. We got to make sure we stay on the same page. When aughts and problems show up, we need to make sure we get it right so God can bless everybody. Even to my young couples in here, because we got a few in here. We got a few young couples or engaged couples. Understand, being on the same page is not just a church thing. It even affects your personal life. Even when it comes to being married, Peter talked about how a husband and a wife, in 1 Peter, I believe it's chapter 5, he talked about how they got to be working together. Listen, so their prayers are not hindered. I'm going to tell you, I don't have a perfect marriage, But one thing I do when me and my wife get into it, I make sure we resolve it. Because I don't want to be praying for bigger and better. And the Lord looking down, they're like, no, y'all ain't even on the same page. I don't want my prayers hindered. And you can flip the script and ask her after service. She feels the same way. Am I right about it? That's right. So even when it comes to things outside the church, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your social life or relationships, you need to check your friendships and make sure your folks that you hang with are on the same page. Paul asked a question, what fellowship does light have with dark? If you trying to live right and please God, but the majority of the folk you hang around, they not on the same page, you hindering your blessings, you hindering yourself. You need to make sure that everybody in your circle is at least trying to be productive. You don't want to hang with nobody that's going to hinder you from being productive. It's just hard. It would be hard for me to stay married and happy if I hung around other brothers that went to the strip club all the time. It would just be hard. Because you know what they're going to be talking about? Yeah, man, we made it rain. Boy, she was clapping that thing. And I'd be like, Lord, have mercy. I can't keep hanging around them talking about making it rain and it clapping knowing that I'm married over here. I got to make sure we on the same page. And that's why you have various authors in the scripture that would talk about how evil company corrupts good habits. Then one writer would say the righteous should choose their friends carefully because the wicked will lead them, they will lead them astray. So make sure, check who you hang with. Check your surroundings and make sure folk are on the same page. If you're a person that's not full of drama, but you got a whole bunch of drama in your life, check who you're hanging with and see what they are depositing into your account. And if they are depositing a whole bunch of drama in your account, it's time to close that account. I'm not getting too much help in here, but am I Bible this morning? That's it. So they were on the same, help me, page. They were both doing our second trait. They had good work ethic. Jesus walked by and saw these two men casting their net, working together, putting in work. Isn't it amazing how you constantly hear about people in our day and time that just do not want to work? Just lazy. Just do not have good work ethic. And you can't hide that. You can't hide it. You can be a nice person, but if you just don't have good work ethic, you can't hide that. Your parents know if you got good work ethic or not. Your God know if you got good work ethic or not. Your friends, your supervisors, they know. They know if you got good work ethic. But you know who the most important one is that needs to know that you got good work ethic? You. No, you. You need to know that, hey, I have good work ethic. Can I break it down the way the Lord gave it to me? Now, look, he was talking about some men. He was talking about men. Two men. As a young man, especially a young black man, you need to make sure you are known for having good work ethic. Okay? You don't want to hook up with no woman that got better work ethic than you. No, you a man. You need to be the example. Now look, let me just clear this up. If the woman is blessed and she make more than you, hallelujah. Hallelujah. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Am I right about it? Ain't nothing wrong with that. But you need to have a job. Either working for somebody or working for yourself. Why? You a man. You a man. You need to have good work ethic. You don't need to be known for just playing on video games all the time. Unless that's your job. Unless playing video games is bringing some money in the house, then we can talk about it. Because folk are getting paid playing video games, right? But if you ain't getting pithied from playing them video games, it's time to put your hand to the plow and get to work. It's something wrong. It's something wrong if you are a young man and your parents got to constantly get on to you about cleaning up after yourself. That's a sign that you don't have good work, good folk, nice, but lacking in some areas. Jesus told this one young man who had plenty of money, he said, look, there's one area that you lacking in. Go do this and you'll be complete. You'll be mature. He didn't even want to do it. And see, when it comes to work, you got some young men, they just do not like to work. You got to get off your mama titty and go to work. You can't live off that milk your whole life. Y'all don't mind me saying tit, do you? That ain't no cuss word. Y'all do understand that, right? But as a young man, you have to learn how to appreciate and have good work ethic in the church and outside the church. Outside the church. You need to be known for showing up on time. You need to be known for completing the job the right way. You need to be known for being a person of your word. You need to be known as a young man that will get the job done. That's what you call good work ethic. Even when it comes to your grades, good work ethic. Now, I'm just not going to settle for just passing. Even though some of them classes, you know, they do be tough and you be glad just to pass. But you put in the work because you're striving to be productive in every area of your life. Good work ethic. You don't mind sweating. You don't mind getting a little dirty if necessary. Why? You a young man. Woo, there's some good teaching right here. It's some good teaching. Watch this. How many young women in here? I'm finna help y'all brothers. They want to be. How many young women you do look for one trait in a man to be having good work ethic by a show of hands? Let me see. Put them hands up. Put them hands up high. No, we're talking to the young ladies. The brothers, they just like, yep, No, sisters, how many in here you saying, look, now, don't lie, because there's some sisters, they don't care. They don't care if the man a bum or not, don't work or not, or live off them. I'm not talking about them type of women. I'm talking about where the young women at, you saying, look, man got to know how to work. Got to know how to work. Can't be no lazy man. Now, putting them hands back up. Let me see. Survey says, all right. But they had good work ethic. Man, when you read about Simon and his brother and his business, there were times to where they were fishing all night long. They was out in the sea fishing all night long. Check this out. And they didn't catch nothing. But they put in that work. See, that's something we need to learn from as young men, especially us in here that want God to really do great things for us. Sometimes you put in a lot of work and you may not see the results you desire. That's just part of the process. But the Lord promises there is reward in all labor. Don't ever be lazy. Remember the ant. Put in that work and it's going to pay off. So what were the two traits? They were working together, and they had what? Good work ethic. Let's look at 2 Chronicles, so I can leave this alone. Y'all like this kind of teaching? Okay, 2 Chronicles 15. Let's look at this. For the sake of time, read right here. 15:7. But you be strong, and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be reward. Always remember that if I just put in the work, God gonna make sure he rewards me. If I put in the work, whether it's with my faith or whether it's in business, God gonna make sure that I get the rewards. May have one customer right now, but if I just work that one customer, put in the work, God gonna send me some more customers. Woo, you ought to ask Elder Leeks about that. You ought to ask Elder Leeks how he was just doing pressure washing and cutting yards and bumped into one man, gave him what, 4 or 5 accounts. Started out with 1 or 2, bumped into one man, and the man said, look, I like the way you work. I want you to come do all my businesses and my personal stuff. See, when you and I put in the work, God gonna make sure he rewards us. Y'all getting this? All right. Now, I'm not going to go there, but Colossians 3 and 23 talks about when we do work, make sure whatever we do, whatever we put our hand to, do it as unto the Lord. Got to have the mindset that, hey, I'm cutting this yard, but it's like Jesus live at this house, and I'm cutting for him. Because when I do it as unto the Lord and not unto men, God going to make sure I get a reward for my work. See, man, I have you working on your job and give you a 10-cent raise. Give you a 10-cent raise and want you to be happy. You be like, 10 cent, bro. 25 cent. Really? But see, God ain't like that. God will make sure we get what we have sown. Am I right? All right. So the text continues, and it shifts. The Lord makes a powerful statement in verse number 19. Look at what he says. He said to them, follow me, and I will make you, help me, fishers of men. The indication is that they were not in the perfect will of God. They were working. They were doing things that a man should do. But Jesus recognized they were not in the perfect will of God. Everything in their life wasn't in place the way the Lord felt it needed to be. And the Lord said, look, all you need to do is follow me, and I'll make you. I'm going to help you fulfill your purpose. I will make you into fishers of men. They were doing good, but again, they weren't where they needed to be. The Lord showed up and wanted them to be better. And see, because God does not change, he's looking at many of us, and he said, yeah, you're doing good. But I want to make you into something else that's going to be better than where you are right now. Oh, yeah, you making good money now. But I got a plan for you to be better. Oh, man, you doing good work in ministry. But I want to make you into something else to where the ministry I gave you can be. Are y'all getting this? Lord, have mercy. How many can look in your life right now and realize, if the truth be told, you're doing good, but you do know there's another level? It's time to level up, but we can't get to that level unless the Lord make us. Ooh, Lord, you got to help me to get to where I need to be. And there's some folk in here that's been your prayer. That's been in your heart. You've been trying to level up. You want some things to be better. But you've been finding it to be a little challenging. The Lord said, look, all you need to do is let me make you. You want to be the person that's God made. So many times in our day and time, you hear people that say, look, I'm self-made. I'm a self-made millionaire. I'm self-made. But I come to tell you, it's better to be God-made. And that's what the Lord wants. He wants to make us into the business people he wants us to be. He wants to make you into the investor he wants him or you to be in his sight. He wants to make us. He wants to make us into the student that's pleasing in his sight. He wants to make us into the ministers that are pleasing in his sight. We want or should want to be God made. God made. Make me, Lord, into what you desire me to be. Because see, when we got saved, the Bible teaches we were bought with a price. We are no longer our own. But sometimes we either get comfortable or we get selfish. And we want things to be the way we want them to be. But the Lord's saying, look, I want you to be a certain way as an armor bearer. I want you to be the certain way as a pastor. I want you to be the certain way as an athlete. Will you let me make you? Will you let me make you? It's a choice. We have to choose to be God made. For years, when I started pastoring as a youth pastor years ago, I used to go through phases and I didn't understand, Lord, why am I not like other youth pastors? Why don't I have this quality? Why don't I get to do this right here? Can't I do that right there? And at the time, I was immature and I did not understand. I had to choose either I'm going to be what's pleasing to men or I'm going to be pleasing unto God. And I got to the point to where I said, Lord, you make me. You make me into being the youth pastor you desire me to be. And so he just took me through many stages of being made. Just took me through a whole bunch of different stages. It wasn't just for ministry, even in business. I tried to do a lot of things. I'm gifted in some areas, and I tried to do some things on my own, and it just didn't work right. But I just finally got to the point where I said, Lord, you make me. However you want to do it, Lord, you go ahead. You make me to be the business person you want me to be. Am I talking to anybody in here? Is the Lord talking to anybody in here? Got to be God made. And see, this is not a new concept. This precept of God making people has been around for ages. Y'all go with me to the book of Jeremiah. Let me show you something. Y'all quiet because y'all receiving? Okay, let's go to Jeremiah. It's not a new concept. This been around for hundreds of years. God has been making folk for years. Young men and young women. We just have to choose to let God make us. Even the person that we're finna read about in Jeremiah, he went through it. Historians say that when the Lord started to use him, he was around 17 years old. And the Lord was telling Jeremiah, look, I formed you. I knew you before you was in your mother's womb. And I want you to say whatever I put in your mouth. But Jeremiah was to the point to where he was looking at folks' faces. And he had a problem with what the Lord wanted him to do. And in chapter 1, the Lord just had to break it down to him and say, look, no, you say what I say. Don't look at their faces. Let me make you to be the prophet that I desire you to be. So this has been around for hundreds of years. So let's go to Jeremiah 18 and look at this concept right here of God making people. We're going to look at verse 1 through verse 4. Am I over y'all head or am I in the seat with you? I'm in the seat. Okay. All right. The word which came to who? Oh, Lord. Y'all got English translation? Let's try it again. Verse 1, chapter 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from who? The Lord saying, arise. Let me finish. And go down to the, help me, Potter's house. And there I will cause you to hear my words. Verse 3, then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay, look at this, was marred in the hand of the potter. Don't miss that. And the vessel that he made. And the vessel that he made. Who's the vessel? We are. God makes vessels. Look at this. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. God wants to make us into what's pleasant to him. May not be popular among your peers, but as long as I'm pleasing to God. May not be getting a lot of invitations to go here and go there, but as long as I'm pleasing to God and I'm operating the way that he desires me to operate, I'm fine with that. Lord, make me to be a vessel that's pleasing unto you. See, when a potter is making a vessel, it's just spinning. It's going around in circles. And they're adding things and taking things away to make the vessel the way they desire. And the text doesn't say it, but when you make a vessel out of clay, one of the stages is to put it in the fire. They put the vessel in the fire so the vessel can be hardened and made into a particular thing. And it will stay that way. It'll just stay just like the vessel or the potter made it to be. What is that saying to us, young folk? If you want God to make you into the student, worship leader, business person, minister, leader, spouse, or what have you, God gonna take us through a number of stages. He just gonna take us through different levels. And if we just submit when it's all said and done, not only will we be pleasing unto the Lord, we gonna be happy and satisfied with who he made us to be. Because I have tried to be something that I wasn't, and I wasn't happy. But see, when you are content with who God wants you to be, guess what? You will be happy. How many have ever gone through the identity stages of being a young person? Where you're trying to figure out who you are and you're trying to be something, seem like every other week. Y'all ever been there? Yeah, you try to be a player 1 week, then 1 month you try to be homosexual, then 1 month you try to be what they call it, goth, and then you try to be Ebo, then you try to be a rapper, then you try to be this and that. No, just Lord, make me into who you want me to be. In my clothes, if you want to be God made, whether you're a teenager, in your mid-20s or beyond, the only requirement is what we see in the text. We just got to follow Jesus. That's all we got to do. Let's go back to Matthew. That's what he said. He said, follow me, and I'm going to make you. Don't get saved and then go follow the world. No, get saved and follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Directly or indirectly. Follow him, and he's just going to start making you. He'll start making your mind, your conversation, and your actions. Lord, have mercy. Lord, make us. I want you to make me. All I got to do is just follow. So in my clothes, that's what we need to look at. What does it mean to follow? Because some of you are sitting at your seat saying, Lord, I want you to make me into being who you want me to be. Pastor said I need to follow you according to verse 19. What do that mean? What do that mean, Lord? So you can just make me. I don't want to be a young woman or a young man that's not pleasing. I want you to make me. Follow has a number of meanings, young folk, but I just want to hit three and then we're done today. First of all, when you follow Jesus, it suggests having faith in Jesus. Just trusting him. That's what it means. When I follow Jesus, I'm saying I'm trusting him wholeheartedly. Yeah, I'm trusting his word because Jesus is the word of God. So, Lord, I can't see you, but I got your written word and I got your revealed word from your pastors or your men and women of God. And so I'm just gonna trust you. I'm going to obey, especially your revealed word. Because when it comes to the word that the Lord speaks to us, it's often through his prophets, through his men and women of God. And so we just put that word into action. You say, why is that so? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Now, if you're taking notes, right under faith, just write this or type this. That's some good teach. No, I'm serious. Go ahead and put that on there. Say, that's good teaching. So we have faith. We just trust what the Lord is saying. Now, for the sake of time, I'm not going to go there. But write down Luke 7. And that's going to be something you need to read this week, verses 1 through 9. Because it is an awesome explanation of what it means to have faith in Jesus. There was a man who was sick, or he had a sick relative at home. He was a centurion, what we would consider a lawman, an officer of the law. And he had somebody at his house that was sick. And Jesus was out ministering, and the centurion said, Lord, I want you to come to my house. No, he said, Lord, I need you to make my relative well. Heal my relative. And the Lord said, let's go to your house. And the centurion said, no, you ain't got to come to my house because I'm a man up under authority. And I understand if you just speak a word, it's going to happen. And Jesus turned around and looked at his disciples and said, man, I ain't seen this type of faith or trust or confidence, even in Israel. This centurion was ready to believe whatever the Lord said. And so when God is making us, whatever he gives us directly or indirectly, Lord, I'm going to trust you. You telling me it's my time for bigger and better? I'm going to trust you. Lord, you're telling me restoration is mine? I'm going to trust you. Lord, you said by your stripes I'm healed even though I'm racking with pain. I trust you. You told me to watch how I speak because death and life is in the power of my tongue. So I'm going to do that. I trust you. When that word come forth, young folk, and we put it into action, that's saying that we have faith in Jesus. And don't be spooky with it, because some folk, they'll have faith in certain things the Lord say, but it need to be in whatever he say. Whatever he say, whether it's about giving, whether it's about this, that, or the third, whatever it's about, as long as it lines up with that word, and we put that thing in action, God going to be making us just like he promised. Y'all hear me? Second trait, or second thing follow means. First thing it means to have faith. Second thing follow means to forsake, Lord, personal interests. I need you to follow me. That means I'm going to have to forsake some personal interests. Jesus said it like this, deny your self. There's no way we can let God make us if we following two people. Can't be double-minded. I can't be saying, I love the Lord, I follow him, but then I'm doing what I want to do at the same time. See, that person is double-minded. And a double-minded man will not receive anything from the Lord. So I got to have made up in my mind and understand it's going to be times I want to do certain things. But the Lord may want me to do the opposite. I got to choose. Am I going to do my personal interest or am I going to do what the Lord wants me to do? See, following Jesus requires us to deny ourselves. And there's some things we want that the Lord don't want us to have. And there's some things that we don't want that the Lord wants us to have. Ooh, the Lord drop on you. I need you to fast for 3 days. I don't want that. But that's what you need. Or that's what I need. So it goes both ways. I need you to put such and such on the altar. But Lord, I was going to do such and such with that money. Well, do you want me to make you or not? Well, Lord, I had my night set up to be with my boo. Well, I need you to be at service. It comes a point to where you have to deny your personal interests. Well, my boys want me to toke up and smoke with them. Well, I want you to be holy and not do that. But yet you liking that smoke because you done it before. Deny yourself. Well, my girlfriends, you know, we just celebrating the birthday party and all we doing, she turning 21. And so, you know, we just going to go, you know, and I'm just going to go and support. And they going to the club. And, you know, she turning 21. So I'm just going to go. And no. You know the Lord said, touch not the unclean thing. You're going to go to the club and they're going to be, oh, girl, come on. All right, now it's time for the entertainment. All right. And you're like, well, maybe I stay about 10 more minutes. No. Mm-mm. See, sometimes you have to deny your own personal interests. Deny your own personal interests. You may be used to being involved in pornography. But the Lord's saying, look, it's time to grow. It's time for you to mature. I need you to cut that filthiness off. But your flesh, like, we got to watch it again. We got to watch it again. You have to deny your personal interests. Matter of fact, let me just go ahead and go to the Bible. Let me read Matthew 6:24, because I ain't getting too much help. Matter of fact, I ain't getting none. Ain't no too much. I ain't getting none. But I'm ready this morning. How many know the word for the preacher, too? Yeah, so I'm ready this morning. I done already got my whooping, so I'm just the vessel this morning. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone, y'all help me, desires to come after me, would we be right to say follow? Let him deny himself, take up his, and what? See, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. But if we're going to follow him, we got to deny ourselves. Got to deny ourselves. And that's what's been keeping some of us from leveling up. You more important than what God wants from you. You feel like you just more important. But the key for you is to start denying yourself. Denying yourself. How do I deny myself, Pastor? Sometimes you got to throw a fast on yourself. Yeah, you just got to be like, it ain't Tuesday, but I need to fast because my flesh is bucking. Flesh is bucking. I can feel it. Y'all ever just felt yourself tripping? Yeah, you have to deny yourself. You have to deny yourself. Look, you ain't eating tonight. You ain't eating tonight until you get your attitude right about what God wants. You ain't eating tonight. Matter of fact, all you can have is some water. That's all you can have. You ain't even getting no cranberry juice. All you can have is water. And you start putting your body up under, under subjection. See, the weapons of our warfare, they're mighty. Sometimes you got to put prayer on yourself. You just got, man, I need to go in there and pray. I really need to be praying about this because something is battling me, and it's not coming from without. It's within. You got to put prayer. Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. I'm praying for myself. Lord, I know your will. Paul was an apostle, but he said, when I want to do right, he said, evil was with me. It was always present. Paul had to discipline himself. So when he got up to tell other folk, he wasn't a castaway. He had to discipline himself. And there are some youth and young adults here. If God is going to make you, you got to discipline yourself. Get some self-control. Get some self-control. Now, you got self-control and the discipline to check your phone. Ain't no telling how many times an hour. I mean, you can be sleep hard. I mean, in a deep, like, coma sleep, just sleeping hard. But if that phone, boop, 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 you'll get up. That's discipline. That's control. You didn't have to get up. You didn't have to, but you did. You didn't have to buy that outfit. You said you were going to save a certain amount every month. That's what you said. Look at somebody say, that's what you said. That's what you said. I'm going to save X amount of dollars every month because I got to go. But then when that outfit, them shoes, that jewelry or whatever, it was on a sale price, you was like, oh, Lord. Woo, I got, Lord, this a sign right here. This a sign. No, that ain't no sign. That's a test. Ain't that how it always happens? That's how it be happening. We be like, man, I'm going to save my $150 every month. That's what it's going in the account. It's going to be direct deposit. And then they mess around, send you an email and tell you, you got till midnight. We got 35 to 85% off. You mess around. Go to the website. You be like, there it is. There it is. That's my blessing. But you had said. Now, I'm not telling you to not take advantage of deals. But how many know it just come a point in your life to where when you're trying to level up, you're trying to get God to do special things, sacrifice is in order. I'm going to tell you, God has a way when he sees, or you know the Bible said he see what's done in the dark. When he see us doing stuff like this, God has a way. God has a way of when you go in places and you're not even planning on it. What you sacrifice and obey God with over here, he has a way of being like, man, I wasn't even trying to go shopping. I wasn't even looking for, and here my heart's desire is. You be on vacation. You done forgot about it. You walk into the store and there it is. God got a way of doing stuff like that when he see us allowing him to make us. When I got my first property, my desire was to get a particular home. When I got my first investment property, I had been up and down this particular street. Ain't no telling how many times. I had been up and down this street looking, and my mindset, I can't find it. Ain't nothing out here. It was hid from me. The Lord hid it from me. And I had been up and down the street plenty of times. Then one day, the Lord told me, go back on that street. It's a house over there. It was just like the thing with Peter, but I'd been out fishing all night. But the Lord said, look, just go on back out there and cast your net out, and you're going to come up with a great catch. I went back down the same street that I had been up and down plenty of times, and my first investment property was right there. Right there. 3 months later, it was mine. See, we got to have some discipline. We have to deny ourselves. There are going to be times where you don't want to come to church. You don't want to go to practice. You don't want to do your homework. You don't want to save. You don't want to give. That's just a part of life. But a part of growing in life is doing what needs to be done. And when God sees us doing what needs to be done, even though it may hurt for a season, he has a way of causing us, like I read earlier, to be rewarded for that effort that we put in. Are we getting this? So understand, it's a season for everything. And so when it's time to deny yourself, deny yourself. See, the Bible teaches if we suffer with him, then we will reign. So it's a season of suffering, and then it's a season of reigning. All right? So when God is saying, look, I want to make you, just go ahead, man up or woman up, soldier up, and let's get down to it. Boss up. All right. What they say, if you want to be the boss, you got to pay the cost. Last thing follow means. What's the first thing follow means? To have faith. Second thing to follow means to forsake personal interest. And I like the way we see that in the text. Time Jesus gave him the word, what did Simon and Andrew do? Immediately left their nets. They said, we out. We out. We following you. This our business, but we giving it up. We leaving the net to come follow you. I'm telling you, y'all need to read that Bible. There was three men that came to Jesus in one service, and they all said they wanted to follow the Lord. This man said, look, I'm ready to follow you. The Lord told this man, look, I ain't got nowhere to lay my head. He ain't following. He said, foxes have holes. He said, I ain't got nowhere to stay. I have to go from house to house. He didn't follow. Another man came and said, look, I'll follow you, but let me go first, bury my folk. I got to go bury my family members. Jesus said, no, let the dead bury the dead. If you're going to follow me, come on. Then another one came talking big talk. Lord, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. But first, let me go tell my friends and my family farewell. Jesus said, no, leave them be. If you're going to follow me, come on. See, God looking for some soldiers. We got to be able to lay it on the line. Last trait, follow, means to be kingdom focused. Kingdom focused. I have faith. I forsake personal interest when the Lord requires, and I'm kingdom focused. He wanted them to leave them nets alone and focus on the kingdom of God. Leave them nets alone and come focus on what I want you to focus on. And that's how we have to do. Stop with the excuses and seek the kingdom of God first. Does that not mean we can't do other things and enjoy life? No. But our focus needs to be wherever the Lord wants us to be. My primary focus is the pastor. That's what he has chosen me to do. I am a pastor. My primary thing, I need to be making sure that I'm feeding God's people, especially his young people and young adults, with knowledge and understanding. If I allow anything to stop me from doing that, I'm out the will of God. Why? That's my purpose. Now, he allows me to do other things outside of pastoring, but that can't be primary. My primary focus has to be the kingdom. Y'all with me? Your primary focus needs to be God's will. Whether he has you serving in a ministry, in leadership, as a minister, that's your primary focus. That's your primary focus. And then other things come after that. God always needs to be number one. Number one. I be hearing men, they be saying, this is my queen, this is my number one. No, not biblically. Wife can't be number one. Not for Christian man. God needs to be number Number one. Then after God, then boo come in. Yeah, because you love her as Christ loved the church. But God is number one. God is I can't be number one. God has to be number one. And sometimes I mess up, but I had, Lord, forgive me. Help me get this right. You number one, not me and nobody else. You are number one. And that's how it needs to be in your life, just like them Hebrew boys. They knew they had a good position. Daniel had a good position, but Jehovah was number one. Well, throw me in the line then. I'm focused on pleasing God. I got to pray. Well, throw me in the fire. I ain't bowing down. I serve one God. They were kingdom focused. Same way you need to be. Things that go on your job, you don't have to get involved with everything that go on your job, even though you work there. Just because you work there, that don't mean you got to do everything. I'm kingdom focused. When you get out on your own, you get your own apartment or your own house, it's so important that you don't lose your mind. You got to stay kingdom focused. When you go off to school, don't you backslide, just stay kingdom focused. Going to the military, whatever. Because it's simple when you up under your parents, when you living at the house. But see, the closer you get to adulthood and you mature, these are decisions and choices you need to have in you to make for yourself. How many understand the best choice to make is to let God make us? And when you look at Simon and Andrew's life, they were blessed. Peter was one of the main ones God used in the first church, in the early church. God tremendously used him. And God is going to do the same thing for us because he does not change. I'm going to stop right there. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for the teaching on this morning. Come on, MSW, thank God for your patience.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.